right. Good morning, auditorium class. Good to see you today. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. I hope you'll pray for Dr. Weaver as he's out preaching today, and I know God will use him, and he'll be a blessing there. Next week, Dr. Barber is going to teach Sunday school. Dr. Weaver's going to be out preaching again. Of course, the week following will be Easter Sunday, and then Dr. Weaver will be right back in his place after Easter Sunday. So you pray for him as he serves today. I want to thank you for praying for me while I was preaching in Florida this past week. It was spring break, and I was in Pensacola, Florida, and I didn't go to the beach one time. The weather there was beautiful. It was in the 70s and even the 80s, and it was so nice when I walked from my room to the place where I preached. And that was about all the outdoor activity I got to enjoy, but we had a great time. I got to preach to some preachers this week, a good group of them, and they were so encouraging to me, and I hope I was able to encourage them. So thank you for praying for me. Today, of course, is St. Patrick's Day. How many of you are wearing green today? All right. You are my friends. You know, today is kind of a big day for my people. I don't usually wear green because every time I wear green, somebody asks me where I've hidden the pot of gold, okay? But today's my day to wear green, and today's a big day for my people. So if you didn't wear green this morning, maybe you could wear it tonight. Some junior high boy or girl is going to come up and pinch you for not wearing green here in a minute, so that'll serve you right, all right? It's a big day. Well, we're continuing in our series, The Resilient Life, and today's title is Overcoming Anxiety, certainly something we all battle. James Cash Penney founded the JCPenney stores in 1902. Over the next 17 years, they exploded in growth and profits, but the stock market crash of 1929 hit the company hard. And in order to make payroll, Penny had to borrow against his own personal life insurance policies. By the end of the Depression, he was absolutely broke. He and his company were in financial ruin. That kind of stress takes a toll on someone, doesn't it? It took a toll on him physically. It took a toll on him emotionally. He was so overwhelmed that he had to check himself into a hospital. One night, he was prescribed a sedative so he could sleep, but it wore off just a few hours later. He awoke in a full-blown panic attack and was convinced he was going to die that night. In fact, he wrote his family personal letters. Finally, after many hours, he drifted off to sleep. Well, the next morning when he awoke, he was surprised to be still alive, and he heard some singing down the hall. There was a group of people in the hospital's chapel. They were singing the old hymn, "God Will Take Care of You." He found himself drawn to the service. He listened to the singing and to the preaching. Sometime during that service, God broke through. Penny said later, "I felt as if I had been instantly lifted out of a dungeon into warm, brilliant sunlight. I felt the power of God as I had never felt it before. I realized then that I alone was responsible for my troubles. I knew that God with his love was there to help me. And from that day to this, my life has been free from worry." That's an incredible testimony, isn't it? It's all because he realized and believed that God would take care of him. There is no shortage of anxiety in our world. Many people experience it every day. Today, we're going to deal with what I call daily anxiety. The anxiety that comes upon us as we struggle to deal with life's demands. Now, I also understand that there is such a thing as clinical anxiety. And I think the scriptures have much to say about both types. But I do want to say that there is nothing wrong with seeking medical attention in cases of severe anxiety. Some people will disagree with me about that, but I feel strongly about it. But just start with the assumption that you have a daily treatable kind of anxiety. And take some of the suggestions that we'll offer from God's Word today and implement them. You will be helped, I promise you. Then, if anxiety is an ongoing issue that continues to paralyze you, then you might seek some counseling. Then you might seek some help. And if you ever need that kind of help from a biblical counseling perspective, we'd be happy to offer it. Now, let's look at our theme verse today. We're really just going to study one verse about overcoming anxiety. Look at verse 8. "Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah." The author of our study writes, "In the resilient life, we overcome anxiety and worry by faith. The presence of anxiety is unavoidable. The prison of anxiety is optional." And that's true. All of us are going to deal with anxiety in some way, shape, or form. But the bondage of anxiety is optional. He writes, release from the prison of anxiety comes through trust. And that's what Psalm 62:8 is all about. I want you to notice in the first place, if you're going to overcome anxiety, you need a constant trust. A constant trust. We find it easy to trust in God when all is well. But in this passage, the psalmist made the decision to trust when all was not well. When things are difficult, we can panic or we can pray. We can worry or we can worship. We can try to figure it all out or we can put our trust in God because He has it all figured out. We have a choice to make, and it's a choice about the matter of trust when we find ourselves in situations that cause anxiety. In the 1940s, the German Luftwaffe relentlessly bombed England. On a daily basis, thousands of bombers crossed the English Channel and bombed England's large cities. The devastation was immense. Many of you have struggled with World War II. Well, in an effort to protect the children of the country, almost 2 million British children were sent into the countryside to live with complete strangers. The story is told that as one young boy was on the train platform, waiting for a train that would take him to his new home, a passing man asked, "Boy, do you know where you're going?" He answered, "No, but the king does." I like that. We face many situations that can lead our minds towards worry or anxiety. We can't possibly see the way ahead. It's hard for us to imagine that God has it all figured out. But if we're going to overcome anxiety, we have to believe that the king knows where we're going. And the king knows why we're going there. Peace comes from surrendering our will to God's will. We need a constant trust. Now notice this constant trust is trust at all times. Look again at verse 8. Trust in Him at all times. At all times. Paul wrote, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Moses said in Exodus, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. We love that old hymn, don't we? Leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. And no matter what time of life you're in, you can lean on the everlasting arms of God. They will not fail you. God has begun a good work in you, and He will see that work through. He'll be faithful to do it. There's another hymn that's less well known, but it's been a real help to me. It's called Trust Him. Trust Him when dark doubts assail thee. Trust Him when thy strength is small. Trust Him when to simply trust Him seems the hardest thing of all. Trust Him, He is ever faithful. Trust Him, for His will is best. Trust Him, for the heart of Jesus is the only place of rest. That's what the psalmist is saying here. When you're besieged by trouble, when darkness surrounds you, and you feel overwhelmed by anxiety, that's when you have to make an active choice to trust in God. And that's a choice we have to make over and over and over and over again in the Christian life. Life is seasonal, isn't it? I think life is seasonal. We are leaving winter and going into spring, and that will be a very short season before we get to summer, right? And that'll be very long. We go through seasons in our lives. There are some seasons of blessing and growth where it seems like nothing's going wrong and everything's going right, and we thank God for those seasons. Then there are, of course, seasons of hardship and trial. And the challenging thing about the changing seasons of life is we don't have a weatherman to tell us when the seasons are going to change. Things can be going great one day, and then our lives can completely fall apart the next day, and we just weren't ready for it. We don't have a calendar that lets us know how long this particular season is going to last before we go into the next season. In the changing seasons of our life, remember, this God is the one constant. Solomon wrote about that in that beautiful passage in Ecclesiastes 3. He said, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and yes, believe it or not, Baptist, a time to dance. a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, believe it or not, Baptist, and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I've seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it, but he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from beginning to the end. Now that's a beautiful poetic passage of scripture making one big point. God is sovereign over the changing seasons of your life. Each season has an established purpose. You say, there can't be any purpose for a time to mourn. Yes, there can. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Each season has an established purpose, and it has a definite time. Every trial has a beginning, a middle, and an ending. And God's in charge of that. And the Bible says that God makes all things beautiful in his time. Just think about your life for a minute. How many of you can look back at your life and see a season of sorrow or mourning or difficulty, and now years later you can say God really did some beautiful things during that season? Maybe God drew you closer to himself. Maybe he gave you a testimony that would have power with other people. Maybe he answered some prayers in a miraculous way, and there's no other explanation for the answer of those prayers than that God did it. Even in the difficult seasons of life, God does beautiful work. Have the faith to believe he's doing that with the season you're in right now. It's easy for us to look back on those difficult seasons and see God's work in the past. It takes a lot of faith to trust that God is doing beautiful work in this season that I'm in right now. And I think that's what David meant when he said, trust him at all times. When you're laughing, when you're dancing, when you're sowing, when you're building up, trust him. When you're mourning, when you're weeping, when you're rending, when you're tearing down, trust him. Trust him at all times. Then, trust him in all things. Certainly, that's what David means when he says, trust him at all times. It's not just a matter of days on the calendar. It's a matter of what's happening in your life. I think one of the things that can cause anxiety, especially as we get a little bit older, is change. Now, I'm not as old as some people in this room. Many of you have lived a lot longer than I have, but I am an independent Baptist preacher, so I hate change. I hate it. I am a creature of routine. And as we get older, we get set in our ways, don't we? Our culture has changed a lot, hasn't it? Our economy has changed a lot. Can you believe how much it costs to buy groceries right now? It's unbelievable. Be glad you don't have a 14-year-old boy at the house, okay? Some of you do, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. Our manner of communication has changed a lot in the last few years. For instance, did you know that many older people view a text message as impersonal and impolite? I've had to learn that the hard way as a pastor. I'll text some people about certain things, and they'll think, I really don't want to get a text message. I'd like a phone call. Did you know that young people actually view it the opposite way? They view a phone call just right out of the blue as impertinent. It's like an imposition. Who does this person think they are that they can just call me out of the blue and talk to me anytime they want to at their whim? And I know young people, this is not a joke, who actually get anxiety when someone calls them who hasn't texted first and asked if they can have permission to call them. Our manner of communication has changed. A lot has changed in our culture. God is not only sovereign over the changing seasons in our life, he is sovereign over the changes in our society. And those of you who've lived a long time, you've seen a lot of things change and not always for the better. And you start to think maybe God's fallen off his throne. Maybe he's let the reins of the universe out of his grasp, or he's not holding them as tightly as he used to. No, God is in charge of even those things. Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? The very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Think about this. If a sparrow can't fall from the heaven to the earth without his knowledge, There is no change in our society that ever catches God off guard. Keep that in mind as we go through a difficult political season, that God really is sovereign over the affairs of men. He sets up kings and he tears down kings. And yes, we ought to do our part to vote and get involved and lift our voice. I believe in all of that. But just remember, there is always a king above our king. He's sovereign over the changes. Solomon was so helpful in Proverbs 3. You've probably memorized these verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I think one of the things that causes anxiety is that we try to lean on our own understanding. We try to figure it all out, and we can't. To lean not on our own understanding doesn't mean that God wants us to dismiss our ability to reason. He wants us to use our minds. He wants us to love him with our minds. To lean not on our own understanding means that when what we understand about a situation comes into conflict with what God understands about a situation, that we lean on God's understanding of the situation rather than our own. It means that when we don't have understanding about a situation, we trust that God does have an understanding about it. How many fellow type A planners do I have in here? Yeah, type A. You've never met a person who loves a schedule more than me. My Google Calendar is my best friend in life. I will often plan out my day in 15-minute increments. You say, that's sick. Well, it's just the way I have to operate. I plan my preaching. I plan my meals. I plan other things. A lot of my personal anxiety in life comes from the fact that God sees fit to change my plans. And I think sometimes he sits up in heaven and he just laughs. He sends somebody by to knock on my door or some emergency just to throw me off my routine. And I think him and Gabriel have a big laughing fit over it. When life goes according to my schedule, I can lean on my own understanding. I'm fine planning out my days. But when life doesn't go according to plan, when things are off script, that's when I have to choose to trust God. When life goes smoothly, I can go all day without even acknowledging God. But when he upsets the apple cart and things start falling off and there's more than I can do, that's generally when I start praying and leaning on the Lord. How about you? I think we all operate that way. You know what God wants? Acknowledgement. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. He wants fellowship. Imagine spending all day with someone who is constantly looking at their cell phone. Some of you parents know what I'm talking about here. You want to fellowship with this person and speak with them and enjoy their company, and all they do is look at their phone and they barely give you a grunt all day. We spend a lot of our days with God like that, so focused on our plan and our routine and our schedule that we barely look up. So God often puts us in a place where we are so low we have no choice but to look up, and that's good for us. Acknowledge him at all times. Jeremiah said, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh. He shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. A fruitful, abundant life, a life that overcomes anxiety, is a life that trusts in God, not in flesh. So trust really is the key to overcoming anxiety. What kind of trust do we need? We need a constant trust. We need to trust him at all times and in all things. Not only that, we need a complete trust. I love the next little phrase in verse 8. Pour out your heart before him. Trust in the Lord at all time and pour out your heart before him. There is a completeness that God asks us to have when we trust in him. He wants it all. He wants us to pour it all out. I notice this is an emptying trust. That's letter A. An emptying trust. Pour out your heart before him. Have you ever had a friend with whom you felt like you could be completely honest? You could pour out your heart to them. You could freely share what was happening in your life. And when you opened up to that person, they wouldn't judge you. You didn't have to worry about being misunderstood. Those kind of friendships are rare in life. And if you have some like that, you should treasure them. A few weeks ago, I was able to completely unburden myself with a friend, and it was so freeing. It was so refreshing. God is the friend with whom you can fully unburden your soul. Thank God for human friends like that, and we need that. But there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the Bible says. You know, you'll never weigh God down with your burdens. He'll never look at you as less than because you were honest with him. He'll never push you away because of something you share with him. God knows all of it before you tell him, and he invites you to come and pour out your heart before him. And when I thought about this, I just thought about a pitcher full of water and pouring out the entire contents of that water into a glass. And when our hearts are full of trouble, that's exactly what God wants us to do. He wants us to find some quiet place and hit our knees and pour out the contents of our heart to him. This verse is God's invitation for you to unburden yourself with the Lord. What a beautiful invitation. In times of anxiety, empty your soul. Turn your heart upside down. Give him all your worried thoughts. Give him your fears and your anxieties and your hurts. You don't have to hide anything from him. There are three practical ways you can pour out your heart before the Lord. First, confess your sins, knowing he is ready to forgive your sins. God invites us to come into his presence and confess our sins because he wants to forgive them. Number two, share your needs, assured that he is a present God who helps. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I love the 23rd Psalm, and you do too. And you know that in the first part of the passage, when David is lying down in green pastures and beside still waters, he talks about the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When he's walking through the valley of the shadow, he starts talking to the Lord, doesn't he? You're my rod. You're going to be near me and help me. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what happens in the difficult times of life. When we are in times of trouble, there is something wonderful in the heart of our God that causes him to draw near and to be present. And you can unburden your heart knowing that he will be present when you share your needs. Then you can tell him your worries, confident he is able to give you peace. And I just love Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm glad that when my heart is full of fear and worry, I can pour it out before the Lord. And when I do, I have the promise that he will put in the place of worry and anxiety his peace. I fill up his cup with worry and fear. He fills up my pitcher with his peace. That's wonderful, isn't it? So pour your heart out before the Lord. Not only do we need an emptying trust, we need an earnest trust. It takes a measure of earnestness and authenticity to pour out your heart before the Lord, to be honest with him. What I love about David here is he isn't trying to hide anything from God. He'll be completely honest. And as you read through some of the Psalms, you're thinking, I'm not sure I would have said that to the Lord. But the psalmists are completely and thoroughly honest. They're willing to unburden themselves. In Psalm 139, David confesses that God has searched him and tried him. He reminds himself that God stitched him together in his mother's womb, that God knows everything about him from the time he goes to bed at night to the time he wakes up in the morning. God knows even his thoughts from afar. If he tried to run from God, he could find nowhere to hide, not in heaven, not in earth, not in hell. Then at the end of the psalm, David surrenders himself to God's perfect knowledge. He says, okay, I know you've already searched me, so I'm inviting you, God, search me, know my heart, try my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me. It's really kind of profound. David says, I know you already know the deepest depths of my heart, but after I think about your character and love for me, I want you to know the deepest depths of my heart. I want you to reveal anything that is not pleasing to you. I want to walk in your ways. I love that. You know, God already knows what's troubling you. Whatever you came in burdened by today, God knows all about it. And when we're struggling with anxiety, usually the key issue is our thoughts, isn't it? Our thoughts get awful negative. They get real bad. Maybe we think about quitting the Lord, quitting church, quitting prayer or Bible study. Sometimes we think about quitting people and just cutting them loose. They're bringing so much trouble to my life. I can't deal with this anymore. I got to cut this person loose. Our thoughts are often at their worst at times of anxiety. Thoughts we would never express to anyone, we think. And we even say about the Lord, if God knew what I was thinking, he wouldn't want anything to do with me. Well, guess what? He does know what you're thinking, and he does want to deal with you. He does. I often say God knows us to the bottom, yet he loves us to the top. So instead of internalizing all of those terrible thoughts, express them to God in prayer. Instead of letting your anxiety build up like a volcano ready to erupt, pour them out before the Lord. Open up your heart and mind to God. You say, he wouldn't want to know what I'm thinking about. He already knows what you're thinking about, and he loves you anyway. So ask him to search your heart, unburden yourself to him. It's an earnest trust. I notice this, it's an engaging trust. Engaging trust. We often think of trust like it's passive, okay? It's like a heartbeat. The heartbeat's kind of behind the scenes in our life. We don't actively think about it. We know it's really important, but our heart does its own thing, and we think very little about it. It's a passive thing that happens behind the scenes in our life. And we think about our trust in God a lot like it's a heartbeat. My trust is there in the background, in the surface. I do trust in the Lord, but I'm going to figure this all out in the foreground. That's the background thing, but in the foreground, I got to figure it all out. That isn't how the Bible pictures trust. Trust is a choice. Trust is an action. It's something active. It's not a heartbeat. It's something you have to think about and do. In Psalm 37, the psalmist tells us how we engage in it. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. Verily, thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. How do we choose to actively trust in God in seasons that would create anxiety? Three words for you, delight. Delight in the Lord. As we trust in the Lord, we have to delight in him. We have to find our joy in him. Other people try to rob us of our joy. Anxiety-creating circumstances try to rob our joy. But in Christ, we always have a reason to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul said. And again, I say rejoice. And the choice to actively trust in God is the choice to find your joy in him, even when there's not much else in life you can rejoice in. Delight. Then he says, commit. Commit thy way unto the Lord. As we trust in the Lord, we have to commit to him. In other words, we have to say, God, I don't know why I'm here, but you put me here, and I commit my actions to you while I'm here. I'm not seeking my own way in life. This is not the way I would have gone, and it's creating anxiety. But I'm committed to following your will and seeking your way. Can I just give you something practical here? This is why we have to keep serving God in times of anxiety. I tell you what, when I get awful stressed out, you know what I want to do? I want to take a Sunday off. I'm going to be totally honest. Call in some evangelist and let him preach, and I want to go to the mountains somewhere and just kind of chill. And that's not always a bad thing to do. And I'm going to tell you, many times when I'm stressed out and I have to preach a sermon that next Sunday, it forces me to God's word and it gives me the medicine that I need to cure my anxiety. A lot of us, when we get stressed out and burned out, we want to stop serving. I'm going to stop in the Sunday school class. I'm going to stop with the bus route. I'm going to stop in the 29ers ministry. And really what we need to do is commit our way and walk to the Lord and keep going for him, even in times of anxiety. That's what it means to trust him. I commit my way and my walk to you. Then he says, shine. I like that. God shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. As we delight in the Lord and commit our way to him, he will cause us to shine in times of darkness. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, this is not profound. You all know it. But light shines brighter in darkness. We have this place in West Texas called Fort Davis. And they have an observatory up there, and you look through the telescope, and you can see the stars and the sky, and it's so dark out there and in the middle of nowhere and forsaken that the stars shine so bright. Anybody ever been to Fort Davis and to the observatory there? It really is beautiful. You know, when you grow up in West Texas, you just get used to being in the middle of nowhere. That really is what it is. But I tell you, one thing you can have in West Texas is great sunsets and beautiful star-filled nights. And listen, guys, it is in the dark nights of our life that we shine brightest for Jesus. People don't pay that much attention to us when things are going well in our life and we have a smile on our face. But when we have the joy of Jesus in our heart, when we've gotten that cancer diagnosis, when our spouse is going through a terrible health ordeal, when our family's falling apart, that's when we have an opportunity to shine, right? So recognize that even in the middle of the circumstances that are causing you anxiety, God wants to give you a testimony. He wants you to shine for Jesus. And the choice to trust in God in those seasons is the choice that I'm not going to let my testimony fall apart just because I'm going through something difficult. Even in this dark night, I'm going to shine. That's what it means to trust in God. All right, we're not going to get to much of this third point. They're already at the door there. I'll just give you the blanks, okay? Number three, a confident trust. We need a constant trust, a complete trust. We need a confident trust. Notice that last phrase, God is a refuge for us. Letter A, He is our refuge. And let me just say, if you're going through a difficult time, seek refuge in God. We often seek refuge in human relationships. We seek refuge in television and media, maybe even in a bottle. Seek refuge in God. He is our refuge. Notice this, He is our renewal. He is our renewal. As we go to God and trust in Him in difficult times, He renews us. He restores us. Let me give you just six practical suggestions, and I'll close with this, for finding renewal in a time of anxiety. These are really practical, and I think they'll help you if you're struggling with anxiety today. Number one, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Don't insist that God solve every problem in your life right now. God's timing is best. Wait on the Lord. Number two, rest physically. Physical exhaustion often fuels anxiety. And sometimes what we need is a nap or a weekend off just to rest. Yes, keep serving the Lord, but you might need to rest. Number three, refuse untrue thoughts. Anxiety bombards our mind with the negative. We have to cast down imaginations and speculations and choose to focus on only that which is true and lovely and good. And if you struggle with your thought life, I would encourage you to memorize Philippians 4:8. And just meditate on that verse over and over and over again. Refuse untrue thoughts. Next, go to the Word of God. When you feel stressed out or anxious, open your Bible. It's food for your soul. I think you ought to read the Psalms. If you find yourself unable to sleep, don't just go into the living room and turn on the television. Open up God's Word. Let Him nourish you and help you. Next, submit to the will of God. This is so practical. Sometimes we struggle with anxiety because we're trying to bring about an outcome that God does not want us to have. And many times the battle of anxiety is a battle between my will and God's will. I want this person. I want this amount of money. I want this thing. And God says, I don't want you to have that person. I don't want you to have that amount of money. I don't want you to have that thing. And we get anxious. And the healing of that anxiety comes when we surrender and submit our wills to God's will. This is what you've chosen for me, God. I'll gladly accept it. Lastly, serve others. Anxiety turns our focus inward. Service turns our focus outward. And then let her see there, He is our reward. So there's a lot here. Let Psalm 62:8 be a blessing to you when you come to seasons of anxiety. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. And aren't you thankful for that? Let's pray. Father, I am so thankful that Your Word tells us how to overcome the anxiety that we face in life. And today, we've tried to give practical help from Your Word. I needed the lesson that I taught today. And I pray that it was a blessing to those who heard it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.